B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Okay, it is 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Misnelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays. Every bit is good. I forget Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock. Brian Westbrook is mentioned in the new book by Jessica Simpson. Yeah, we're going to leave you hanging, but he actually is in Jessica Simpson's new book. So we'll talk to him about that. All right, now since we ended the first hour with that Astros thing, I just want to bring this to the light here. So I already said Legler was on Get Up with Marcus Spears and Desmond Howard. Now, we are well aware of the snitch culture. And in certain cultures, it means a lot more than in other cultures. Like, white people tell on other white people all the time. But in a black community, this snitch thing is deeply rooted in that you don't tell on other people in your own community because you have enough problems fighting the authority anyway. Am I pretty accurate when it comes to that, Tyrone?
Yeah, that's a decent part of it, yeah.
Okay, so they may come from it at a different angle. David Ortiz kind of in the same culture. I mean, you know, when he got shot up, it's, you know, you don't tell on anybody who shot you. I'm well aware of that no snitch thing. And I agree with it for the most part. But when we're talking about this Houston Astros thing, I don't think that these two dudes really thought it through. So what Ortiz said was that Mike Fiers was a snitch, that he should have dimed it out when he was playing for the Astros. Now, it's like theoretically impossible for him to do something like that. He couldn't turn on his own. Like, you know what's going on. You're going to turn in your own team at that point? You might as well kiss your paycheck goodbye then, because you're no longer going to be on the Houston Astros team, and you're diming out 24 of the guys that you dress with every day. It's not as easy as it sounds, right? So when he goes to another team, it's like, okay, now the teams I'm with are going to be victims of this cheating scandal. So this is the time he chose to spill the guts. And whether you think it's wrong or right, these guys talking about it this morning on Get Up, along with Legler, I think just didn't think it through enough. Like, can we hear the Spears and Desmond Howard?
He's a snitch. Yeah. If he didn't say anything while it was going on, like, listen, the silence in the moment is worse. Like, you go throughout the annals of history, the silence in the moment when things are happening, when you can get rid of some of the stuff that will happen as a result of what's going on, is the worst.
If you were quiet and benefiting from it while it happened, and now all of a sudden you left and now you want to spill the beans, you're a snitch. And I think it's a problem bringing that man into any organization. If this happened in the NFL and you brought a guy like that on the team that I was a part of, the first thing I would do is I would go to management. Because GMs got to understand one thing in the locker room that's important. It's chemistry. If you bring in a pariah, you bring in a guy who's going to be cancerous to the locker room, that disrupts the chemistry of the whole team.
I got to be honest with you. Both of those guys sound like hammerheads. Seriously, a pariah. So Desmond Howard is suggesting that when he's playing football with 52 other guys and there's one guy that's going to tell on his own damn team, that's better? Like, what are these guys talking about?
I don't know. And they even try to compare it to the D'Angelo Russell situation, which isn't the same at all, in which he filmed his teammate talking about cheating on his fiance. That is not the same. And then put it out there. That is not at all the same as going to a different team that pays you, and now you help the team. And the other part that keeps getting lost is he only said something in private at first. Major League Baseball, for whatever reason at the time, chose not to do anything, and then he went public to The Athletic. His first step was he told the A's. The A's told Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball, for whatever reason, decided not to stop it. They're about to play the Astros. Then he went public because he knows he could lose to him and be a victim of it. I don't know what else he was supposed to do. He's showing loyalty at all times to the person that writes his checks. When he was, when the Astros wrote the checks, he was loyal. When somebody else writes the check, he's loyal
he's
to them.
He's being loyal to them by saying, hey, guess right. what? We could lose to this team because they cheat.
Right.
These guys, like Spears, Desmond Howard, like he's been in the media for a long time.
Long time.
Dude, you kidding me? So telling on the heinous crime of cheating in baseball, which has the whole world of Twitter, including the players, is worse than the actual heinous crime. Telling on, exposing the cheating scandal that everybody is now invested in as, oh, that's so terrible. Is actually worse than the actual, like, telling on it is worse than the crime.
You know what's funny is they haven't done a whole thing talking about how bad Altuve is. They haven't done a whole thing talking about how they wouldn't want to play with
Come
this
on,
cheater or that
Desmond,
cheater.
A pariah. He's in your own locker room. He's left. He left your team. You both these guys are going to make the game. Well, you should have stood up. You should have stood up when it was the cheating scam. Yeah, and have 53 guys want to kill you.
Now, let's say Al Horford goes from Boston to the Sixers. What if Boston, you can't do it in basketball, but let's say somehow they had a way to fix basketball, which you can't do, but let's just say for a second. If Al Horford went to the Sixers and said, hey, when we play Boston, they do this to cheat. Is that him being a snitch, or is he now telling his current team what's what?
That's the point. You're a pariah if you tell on your own damn team. If you go outside the team, you're no longer a snitch. You're not going to hurt the guys you dress with anymore. You're exposing something that's going to hurt you.
Self-preservation there.
It's unbelievable.
There's pitchers who think that they are out of the league because the Astros are comfortable.
Listen, what I have done with Mike Fires, probably not. But my God, these guys, they're misguided. And it was like the Greenbergs today. You think Greenberg would have presented the other side? No, hell no. Not with Spears and Desmond are on there. I'm not going to wound those guys. Come on, man. Let's be honest about things. Let's go to Sam in Ohio. Sam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam.
What's going on, Mikey Miller?
What's up, Sam?
Nothing much. Me and a couple of my buddies made an impulse decision last night, or yesterday afternoon. And it's an hour drive, so we made our way up and went to the game in Columbus, which was really cool.
Oh, wow. How about you traveling? Look at the Flyer fans traveling now. I love it.
There's a lot of orange.
You guys are like Eagle fans.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully, I think the Eagles actually might play in Cincy this year. We might try to get out there in the fall.
Cool.
Yeah, but the Brian Elliott really turned that game around, which you had said yesterday, where, you know, you got to put heart in these playoff situations.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that atmosphere was not a playoff atmosphere. I've never been in a more dull arena in my life. So putting Brian Elliott in last night was not the end of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I just have my opinion on it, and they won, so it wasn't the end of the world. But I wonder if this is an indication that they're going to do two goalies in the playoffs. And by the way, Aaron gave me inaccurate information last night on that two-goalie system. Like, a couple guys played a couple games in the playoffs. For the most part, if you get into the Stanley Cup Finals, you're riding with one dude.
Yeah. Yeah, but they have, in the next week or so, they have at the Caps, home against the Canes, home against the Bruins, at the Lightning. And those are all four playoff teams, so he has to put heart on the road in one of those two games. Hopefully it's the Lightning, because they're obviously the more difficult team to play against, and that will really show, you know, where he stands in terms of if he's ready for the playoffs or not.
Okay. All right. Yep.
And then another thing with the so the playoffs in the NHL are goofy.
We just found out you don't step outside your division, right?
Yeah.
It is weird. Yeah, so they would play the Penguins in the second round.
If the Penguins were the one seed and they ended up winning, yeah. Otherwise, they'd play, you know, whatever team beat the Penguins.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so yeah, it is. It's the NBA is so much easier. They just stack them up. Stack them up. One to eight, boom. One plays eight. So, they wouldn't play Boston because Boston is in another division.
Right.
So they would play the team in their conference, in their division, which would be the Penguins. They beat CBJ.
The worst part, I don't know if they've been out of the first round since the new system, so we've never had to worry about it. Seriously, since they went to the wild card, I think they've made the playoffs a couple times, but they haven't won a series for us and Philadelphia to ever have to be like a part of, who do we play in the second round?
Exactly. So now they're in the Metro Division.
Right.
And Boston's in the Atlantic Division, so they wouldn't get to the Atlantic Division until they disposed of the Metropolitan Division. So they would have to beat the Capitals, and they'd beat the Penguins if they beat the wildcard team.
You know, that.
And they can beat the Penguins.
Oh, no, they've shown that.
Yeah, Aaron's right. They have had success against both those teams in their Metropolitan Division. So there you go. There's your double playoff victory. Eastern Conference Finals against the Lightning.
The other thing is, Tyler just looked it up. They haven't won a playoff series since 2011. So now you're talking about a long, what was it? Do you have more, Tyler? You can say it.
No. So they have three first-round exits since 2011. Haven't won a playoff series since.
So now you're asking a team that hasn't won in a long time to now win multiple series. Not that it can't happen in the NHL, but that's where it's hard for me to already just jump to winning multiple rounds when they haven't won a round in 9 years.
And be honest with you, it's not a great Western Conference either.
It's not.
Can we stretch this out to a cup?
There is a scenario. No, there's a real scenario. Like a realistic, you could write it down and not be dreaming scenario. There absolutely is. Right now, they're playing all the tough teams. They're beating all the good teams.
Get ready for a trip to St. Louis, Tyrone.
Let me tell you.
Broadcasting in St. Louis.
Man, I couldn't wait. A Flyers parade in the summertime.
We got to hope the Vegas Golden Knights can get there.
Oh, yeah. Be out in Vegas.
That could be a better trip.
Yeah, I don't want to go to
I don't go to Edmonton either.
No, I don't want to go to Edmonton.
Dallas.
I don't know. Vegas.
The Avalanche could do a little something.
Go out there.
All right, let's go Frank in East Oak Lane. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank. Yo, Frank.
What's going on,
What's
man?
What's up, buddy?
200%, Mike.
How you doing?
200%, man.
200%?
Yeah, 200%. He's a snitch.
All right, listen, I get the snitch concept. He's more like a whistleblower to me. All of the people who play the game are benefiting from what he did. So how is that snitching that he did harmful?
I'm talking about the Sixers, though, man. I just had to talk a little bit.
All right, go ahead.
But Nettles got to go, man. We talked like last month about Rich and Horford. You guys gave me crap about it, but it's looking good. But I think that you got to trust more in Burks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, he's going to get playing time. There's no question.
Yeah, and I figured out what it is with Netto. I think he reminds him of T.J. McConnell.
Who does? No, T.J. at least ran. Neto's not as fast as TJ. He's not as quick as TJ.
And last night, Ty McGinnis gave Tyrone a good snip for when Shake scored that basket. So I'm gonna pull that up.
Pull that up. Shake, what, the one, the 3-point play where he went to the basket?
Yeah, he said, yeah. Shake, rattle, and roll.
Shake, rattle, and roll?
I know
Tyrone was all out and bothered when Shake scored that basket.
Let me tell you.
I texted you.
Yeah, you did. It's like, oh, Shake sighting. Yeah.
Shake sightings,
yeah,
right.
You did. I am not, no. I'm not, Shake should be playing when Simmons is out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he should be I'm saying he shouldn't be in mothballs. And the coach was not going to play Shake and ended up forcing his hand, and they ended up winning the game partially because of it. I just hope the coach remembers this going forward against the athletic teams he's going to have to play against. I know he's going to make mistakes. He gives you an athletic chance that Neto doesn't. And I get it, but he has to go with his horses going forward. I don't think he can go with this guy won't make mistakes. Just go with the guy who's going to go play hard and can play fast. I just hope he does that because it made a difference late in the game.
Well, I'll tell you what, the Sixers got helped by Trae Young last night.
Yeah, boy.
Trae dropped 50.
Career high.
You don't hear anybody saying, you know what, he's young, man. He needs time to develop. Right, nobody says that about Trae Young.
Second year,
he's firing like a step over half court,
and he gave it to Jimmy Butler on social media.
Yeah, he did.
Jimmy Butler was talking trash. He goes, "Yeah, I do like it." You know, that's the one thing about Jimmy. He rubs it. He gives. I know bulletin board material is overrated, but he gives the guys that every game.
Yeah, he does.
He gives it every game, and then Trae put the career high.
That's pretty amazing, man. What he's doing. I didn't see it. I thought he's a little slender. to be that effective, but when you got 40-foot range, it opens up a lot of avenues.
Yeah, like, I still don't know how much he's going to win because he is literally the worst defender in the NBA.
He can't defend at all.
Anybody?
But my man is like, he's AI bucket worthy. He gets buckets. And he's a better shooter than AI.
Yeah, no, he is. And it's just amazing. He said, Boomy's got it. He said, that's not the last time I'm going to score 30 either.
That's after the game.
First time, it ain't going to be the last. Swag. That's the other part, the confidence. Mm-hmm. He's supremely confident. He's one of those guys that misses six, seven's going in.
Hard to believe a guy with a bad hair can be that confident, too. Yeah?
Yes, he's on the all hair.
He's got bad hair, too. He's got bad salad.
He does have bad salad.
All right, 610-632-0975. One open line, you can grab it. Mike Missinelli Show, we're back.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's time to update the Twitter poll. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Son, Tyler Zillian for Natalie. Tyler, what you got?
Thanks, Mike. So the question is today, what stood out the most to you last night? The Flyers' effort, Sixers' ugly start, Embiid's dominance, or Kevin Hayes? So just under 1,200 votes here. Embiid's dominance leads the way with 39%. Right behind it, Flyers' effort, 35%. Sixers' ugly start at 18%. Kevin Hayes, 8%.
All righty. Thank you very much. Before we get back to the phones, just the thought that went through my head. Wawa has announced it's testing pasta at certain Wawas. Now they went to the hamburger route, French fry route, and now they're testing the pasta. Tyron, what would be a bigger violation for me since I have already admitted to purchasing a cheesesteak from Rite Aid? What would be the bigger violation? Purchasing a cheesesteak from Rite Aid or me getting pasta at Wawa?
You. You who have given people a hard time. You give people a hard time about sauce. You give people a hard time about noodle, about everything. Mm-hmm. You specifically, not Tyler and I, you can never eat Wawa pasta. Not you.
Let me rest assured that I would not ever.
You're not
lying. You don't have to worry about my choice of entree on the screen. It would not be pasta.
Now,
but if I did in some drunken stupor one night, what would be the bigger violation? That I actually was slurping down pasta at like 12:30 a.m. or actually buying the cheesesteak from Rite Aid?
Listen, there's nothing worse than you buying the Rite Aid cheesesteak, but you specifically, because you can't. Where did they make that sauce fresh, Mike? Oh, why are you buying? Who brought dry sauce? You don't think they making it up? You can't do it. Not you.
Well,
anyone else in the Delaware Valley, knock yourself out. But you and Anthony can't either.
All right. Right. You're right about that. That would be the worst violation.
Yeah.
Because the actual cheesesteak purchase was for research.
Right.
I don't need to research that. I don't need to research the pasta at Wawa.
You gave a guy a hard time one time talking about his mom's recipe because it was a jar of sauce. What kind of Italian mother making the jar? You've given people a hard time.
The guy gave me a recipe with jar sauce in it. That's not a violation.
I'm not.
He had a special recipe that included jar sauce.
He's saying they seasoned up. It was a good sauce, though. It wasn't like.
He seasoned up the jar sauce.
And you ridiculed.
That's the recipe.
So he got it from his mom. He's an Italian guy. You gave him a hard time. You've been giving people a hard time in this city 20 years.
I'm just talking about me. All right? There's no reason to buy jar sauce. It's filled with sugar. It's filled with preservatives. It's no good for you when you can make a fresh sauce very easily. And I put it on Twitter the other day, my marinara sauce recipe.
You know, did you see what we're doing in the summertime once all the construction's
over? You want to do a cooking show?
We're going to start doing our cooking segments. You're going to make your sauce. Natalie's going to make things. We're going to put it online.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm up for
that. But we can't do it here right now. And I'll tell them what you're getting the sauce. Do it after all this is done. Can't do any of this right now.
No, it's a bleak scene, man.
Yeah.
Let's go, Cash in Mount Airy. Cash, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike, long time no talk to. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Cash?
Listen, I just got to tell you, man. I watched a game last night, and Brett Brown's a stone-cold idiot. I mean, he's just a moron. You know what I mean? And I say that respectfully, but
you said it respectfully.
Yeah.
I hate to hear what you're going to disrespect him.
I mean, is he trolling us, Mike? I mean, why? Why? You got a bitch now. He's like a gay guy with a beautiful wife. He don't know what to do with this team, man. I'm telling you.
Come on, man. That's borderline inappropriate, brother.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
that's
right. You can't be talking that way in this day and age, but go ahead with your point.
I'm being real. Like, you know what I mean? This guy is an idiot. He's wearing NATO and fuck mop the same time. And you bitch Al Horford to play him again alongside Joel Embiid. Like, what? I mean, what is he doing? I mean, you got a team now that has a bitch. Alan Brand went out there and bought all the ingredients, man, to make a perfect meal. And this guy refuses to just make a good meal for lunch. I don't know what this guy's thing is with our team or with the fans, but it's like he's the sickest.
Who would you have started last night?
But not NATO.
Oh, well, I'm asking you to be a coach. Who would you have started?
I'm starting Josh Richardson at the point since Ben is not playing.
Okay. All right.
Okay, shooting guard, okay? I'm going to start Shank as shooting guard. And then I'm going to start Glenn Robinson III. And then, you know, your power forward, Tobias. And then Embiid. And then you got Burke off the bench who can score. Now, let me tell you something. Burke is a great scorer off the bench. But I'm going to tell you, he's so stupid, he probably won't even play him that much.
He's going to play him a lot. He played him a lot of minutes last night. He was reliable for him last night.
That's because Ben didn't play. Wait till Ben come back.
No, Burks is going to get 20-plus minutes off the bench.
Man, listen. It's common sense. I mean, it's not that hard, Mike. You're going to bench now. We're not trying to lose no more, Brent. If you're listening, you play Neto and Shake Milton when you're trying to lose. Those guys are players on a team that's
Shake should have played before Neto. But I think he's like pigeonholed. He doesn't believe in Josh Richardson or Shake as a pure point guard. And he feels that Neto gets people involved. It's misguided thinking because you have to have athleticism on the floor. You know, that team is fairly athletic. They play hard. That's team.
Actually, I wouldn't be against in a situation where Ben misses. I'd start Burks at the point if need be.
Yeah, he has played that point, but I think he wants to use Burks as some energy off the bench because otherwise they don't have anything.
No,
they didn't have anything last night.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm just saying that I just don't understand it. And I understand he's worried about mistakes, but there's a, you know, the trade-off. The question is, can the person make a couple plays to make up for the mistake? He didn't think that Shake could, and he was wrong.
Yeah. Let's get Charlie and Delran in here. Charlie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Charlie.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
What's up, Charlie?
First-time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
I wanted to make a point about the Flyers and the Sixers.
Yes, sir.
Last night, Flyers game, phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, that defense in the third period, I mean, you know, short two guys. I mean, and Kevin Hayes to come in overtime and get that goal, it was just phenomenal. They look like a hungry team.
They really are a hungry team. I'm saying they don't know what they don't know, this team.
Hey, look, yeah, you said it perfectly. They don't know what they don't know. And, you know, I think a lot of teams in the league should be, I mean, scared to play this team. You know, they look like they got a fire lit under them and, you know, they're going to go.
We got it all laid out, bro. Flyers cap first round. They win that series. They beat the Penguinos. Boom. Eastern Conference Finals.
I was listening to Mark in the morning yesterday. Even a Penguins fan said he'd be scared to play him, in the playoffs, too.
Because they seem to play well against the Penguins.
Yeah, they do. And my dad's a Penguins fan, so, you know, we can't watch the games together.
You're dad from Pittsburgh?
Well, my family originated from Pittsburgh, okay. But, you know, I'm a Philly guy all out.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I mean, but, so get your dad's, you know, what?
Yeah,
true.
Pittsburgh guy.
But, and my point about the Sixers is, you know, Joel Embiid's energy last night. I love seeing it. I think, you know, if he can carry that out through the stretch of this regular season and into the playoffs and, you know, kind of get the guys to carry on with that, you know, they'll be fine, you know. Brett has some questionable lineups going in the game, but other than that, you know, I'm not too worried about it. I think they're good. You know, when the time comes, they'll be able to execute.
All right, buddy.
In my eyes.
You got it.
All right, Mike. Thanks, thank
pal.
You.
All right, there he is. Charlie. What?
Real fast. Any interest, Markieff Morris has worked out a buyout with the Pistons, the other Morris twin. Now, he's not as good as his brother.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have interest.
Yep. Now, who would you cut? Their roster's full, so you must cut someone.
Scott.
So you cut Scott, not Netta. Both on one-year deals. I'm just asking. Just a preference. They're not going to cut Pell because he's their third big right now. Like, so if there is an injury, he would play. So it probably...
I mean, that position would kind of replace Scott, wouldn't it? They bring in Markieff.
Probably, unfortunately, for the Hive.
Yeah, and he didn't play him last night, so I think he's...
Okay.
He's kind of done with them.
Yeah, the question is just going to be, does he see enough minutes here versus any other opportunity he might get, but he will be available.
Oh, well, that, you know.
And you only have a few days because March 1st is the deadline, I believe, so you have about 8 days to make all these decisions. So.
All right, so you're going to bring off the bench at this point. All right, let's just say they stay with the starting lineup they did last night. And surprisingly, he did not go Corky. He went Glenn Robinson the third last night.
Yeah.
Right, so... So Horford comes off the bench. Burks comes off the bench. Markieff Morris comes off the bench. Who am I missing?
He's only going to play nine in the playoffs.
So who's the one guy? Oh, Thibault.
Yeah, that's it.
Thibault will play.
That's your nine.
All right, that's it.
He's only playing nine.
That's
it.
So, I mean, that's...
It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
And you know what else he brings?
There's only one guy with... A little firepower, but
you know what you have there, though? More toughness, too, because you don't want to mess with any Morris twins.
Yeah, so in the hole, Corky
and Shake, yeah. And if there's injuries or something like that, both those guys have played minutes, so they wouldn't be hypothetically overmatched. Hypothetically, I'm just wondering because he is now available. I'm sure his the Clippers will be interested.
I'll take him in a second,
okay?
That's toughness, yeah. I no problem with any of the Morrises.
All right.
610-632-0975. Two lines are open. You can climb in. Westbrook at 4 o'clock. And the story behind Westbrook being in Jessica Simpson's book. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, be West, but maybe not. We'll get to the bottom of that after this. Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, 346. Mike Missinelli Show at 97.5. The Fanatic. Ryan Westbrook coming up at 4 o'clock. Talking Sixers, talking Flyers. Good night last night for all. Helped by the Miami Heat losing to the Sixers. And the Sixers look poised now to vault them and get that home court advantage. What changes the landscape for me? Considerably. Meanwhile, the Flyers, we're laying at the playoff scenarios. Home ice advantage, even. Flyers take on the Caps. They beat them. They beat the Penguinos. And they're Stanley Cup Finals on national TV against the Tampa Bay Lightning. How about that?
That'd be a great conference final.
Yeah, people are ripping us for not knowing the playoff scenario, but it's been a long time since we associated playoffs with the Flyers.
Yeah.
You got to give us a break here.
Come on. Like, the Flyers haven't been making the playoffs for us to know.
Plus, the NHL is a goofy playoff thing. Come on.
I mean, listen, you want to rip us, knock yourself out. But I'm just saying, it's not like we have a bunch of experience with this. Like, oh, yeah, exactly. remember 2 years ago with the flood? They never make it out of the first round when they do make it.
Yeah, so good. Cut us a break. Let's go to Drew Westchester. Drew, you're a nice M5 to Fnatic. Drew.
Hey, what's up, Mike? How you doing, bud? Good. So I do have a little experience with the playoff scenario there, being a Penguins fan. So, yeah, I was a little surprised you guys didn't know the setup there. But it's actually a really weird setup, the way they have it in hockey now, because they have the 2 and 3 seeds have to play each other in both divisions.
Yeah, let's face it. The whole league is kind of weird. I mean, yeah, I like hockey, but some of the rules really are weird.
Yeah, well, the whole playoff format is horrible. I hate it. It should be a 1 through 8, you know, no questions asked, you know, reseed after the first round, and that should be the way it is. But as far as the Flyers' chances, I really see them making the playoffs. And, you know, as a Penguins fan, I fear the Flyers. I really do, Mike. I think they're playing some really great hockey with the guys they have. It's a shame that they don't have more talent on that team, you know, based on their past draft experience, you know, with Nolan Patrick being out. You know, that's a, you know, huge buzzkill for him, because they could have had some real quality player in there, you know, if it wasn't him or him, you know. This team could even be better than they are right now. So when it comes to the playoffs, I think the Flyers have a real fighting chance, especially if they play the Capitals. I think that would be a really, really good series, man. I'd like to see that.
Yep, I agree. I'm on board. When they came back last night, you know, they get that 2-0. They go, well, it stops here. It's, you know, Columbus must win. They're going to get buried. And all of a sudden, they just keep grinding, and boom, they're tied. And then it's a great way to win.
Yeah, I thought they were out of it. I mean, when it was 2-0 there after that one goal, that second goal that Columbus scored, which was a great goal. I don't know if you saw it, between the legs goal.
Yes.
But, they fought back. And good for them, man. I hope they keep going. And I'd like to see them in the playoffs and see what happens. Make a little Philly interstate rival.
All right, Drew, you got it. Sixers and Flyers going head-to-head playoff. Hockey playoff basketball would be nice.
Be the first time in a while. And I think both teams are going to win a round. So you get a couple rounds of this. It'd be fun.
All right, let's go Bob in Belmar. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fnatic. What's up, Bob?
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Tyrone graduated 83, Pennsylvania. So, Embiid, last night when he was grabbing his knees at the end of the game, do you think he was whining or he was just tired?
When he was grabbing his shorts?
Yeah, at the end, he was shooting the foul shots.
Yeah, it's fatigue.
Yeah, but is that the persona? Like, I was carrying the team, and then Ben Simmons wasn't here, and I'm doing. My whole point is, this whole team, him and Ben Simmons, they're whining all the time. Like, they got to pull it together and, like, look, man, we got to move this forward. I don't know.
What do you mean they're whining all the time?
It's their happiness. They just look like, well, it's like, I don't know. You tell me.
You're the one who brought it up. But you want me to, what do you mean?
Don't they look like
whining all the time?
The beginning of the season, like when Ben Simmons like started off, he looked like he was nothing. Like, they got to bring this team together. Like, is Brett Brown the one that got to do it? Or I don't know. They just look like they're missing something. It looks like it's like Embiid like thinks he's the best, and like, I don't know.
Well, it sounds like you don't know. I don't know where you're going with it. There has been questions about them liking each other or being able to play together. I don't know. Maybe the tide has turned. We have one game of reference, really, the Clippers game. And then they seem to be a little chummier in the All-Star situation. I got a third situation. Can somebody get me some water? But there are no cups here. So you're going to have to... Can you find me a cup there, Tyler? Yeah, I'm gacked up.
Yeah. I don't think Embiid was doing that for dramatics. He played 40-some minutes and was playing offense and defense. I think he was just tired when he went to the foul line. I don't remember him complaining after the game about being tired either, listening to it. I think he just was tired.
I know what the guy's talking about. The dynamic between Embiid and Simmons, and we've questioned it before.
Yeah.
But it's like, that's not that fresh. right now. He didn't, Ben didn't play last night, and the last time they played their best game together. So right, and it's not like a fresh target.
And they asked him about his, because he went shot, he only missed one free throw, had all those free throws, and he actually went out of his way to praise Ben Simmons. They were saying about, hey, he shot really well from the line. He says, well, Ben's been working so hard making his foul.
He went out of his way to do that. They're trying.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if it's going to work, but clearly they hear what everyone's saying,
yeah,
and their public face is better.
There you go.
For whatever's
worth. You can come in, Tyler. Come on in, Tyler.
Yeah, he doesn't
turn around. You can come on in. That's right. You can go on TV. That's right. You'll be on TV. Bring the little cup. This is the cup. This is the cups we have. These are the cups we have, ladies and gentlemen. This is about as good as it gets. We get the little cone cup. Now, I can't set the cone cup down, so I will be holding the cone cup.
Yes.
And taking little sips, because this is as good as it gets here in our great office.
Yes. Booty points out as you sip your cone cup water that...
Let me see if it'll slide in here. There you go.
Doctor's offices used to have those cone cups and stuff.
Look at that. I got my own cup holder. Wires and a microphone.
That Embiid played 24 of the final 29 minutes in the game last night. That was probably part of the reason why he was tired.
Yeah, I can see his fatigue. Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
Mike, you can't sit that cup down. You just got to drink whatever.
I got it. I wedged it into wires, bro. I got my own little cone cup holder. Right. I'm resourceful.
Hey, listen, I'm a big believer in the Marinaro Cook-Off Challenge. You and Kaz, and you want to throw Wawa in there, we just knock their stuff right off the table, because I would enjoy watching you guys cut.
Well, yeah, we're going to make that happen.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Flyers, Mike.
Uh-huh.
Flyers are the way to go. Even though it's been since 2011, this new coach, they are playing. They are just an army. They just keep coming at you. Doesn't matter if they lose guys. Doesn't matter if it's Elliott or Carter Hart. They are a good team, and every team should fear them. And I think they're going to go far. We're just not ready to accept that because it's been since 2011. Sixers.
All right, so what do you mean by far? Define far. F-A-R.
Far in the East.
Yeah, well, how far? Where? Two rounds? They can win the East?
Yes.
They're going to play for the Stanley Cup. That's what you're saying.
They almost beat Tampa Bay last weekend.
Seven-game series.
And they were still coming at them. Uh-huh. They have a good goalie, Tampa Bay, but they were still coming at them right till the very end. They have no quit in them. I really like the Flyers, and I really like that new coach.
Right.
The other guy was a stiff, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy's a hockey
Hacksaw? What's Hack doing? Is he an assistant in the NHL? Hack? I think he is.
He was a Hextall, his son or something. Hextall's son went to the college, something like that.
Yeah, he was a very successful college coach.
This guy's a real hockey coach, though.
Yeah, he is. Hackstall's an assistant with the Maple Leafs.
And the Sixers, Mike, it's like every game you don't know what you're going to get with these guys. I'm hoping for the new guys. If we get that guy from the Pistons with a Motown Philly action, that'll work perfect. All we need is a couple pieces, because we're a little short there because Al Horford is not playing as
I don't know how many more pieces they're going to be able to get if Marquise Morris is probably will top it out. You're saying, why wouldn't they cut Kyle Quinn? If they could do that, too. They could cut Kyle Quinn instead of Scott. Scott at least has done something in the playoffs. Maybe you keep him around. You never know.
He can make a three in a pinch, and he's an irrational confidence guy.
I completely forgot about Kyle Quinn.
So do we.
You got Pell, who can play 2 minutes, and then Horford plays the rest.
Yes.
Kyle Quinn is just—he's just taking money. All right, Brian Westbrook will join us at 4 o'clock, and the story of how he got into Jessica Simpson's book will come up. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show on radio and TV. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.